124 degrees. Yesterday, the thermometer hit 124 degrees in the Palm Springs area of California. This is the highest temperature ever recorded in Palm Springs. And the temperature is expected to stay above 115 each day for the next week. Since I'm located here in the Coachella Valley right now, I thought you might be interested in what life is like when the temperature gauge gets to this level. But before I share with you some of my experiences, let me say that this situation is a serious health risk for many people. It's being called an excessive heat warning for good reason. In addition to the heat, the Coachella Valley has an air quality alert too. The reason being that there are few wildfires in areas close enough to the valley to blow hazardous smoke and other particulates in our air. The saddest sight for me is seeing a man fully dressed with no hat standing in the median of a road at an intersection holding a sign and begging for money in this heat. On top of that, the electrical grid is being tested, with people being asked to reduce their use of certain appliances during the hours between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. when electrical demand for air conditioning and other uses is the greatest. With that also comes an economic impact with higher energy costs, as electricity bills will inevitably rise. Let me tell you about my experience with the record heat of 124 degrees. But first, a little bit of background may be in order about air conditioning and Neil Peterson. I hate air conditioning. I like the open air, the wind, the natural breeze. I do not like air conditioning in a house, in a room, in a restaurant, or in a car. You name it, I have never liked air conditioning. If I had a choice, I would much prefer being a little warmer than a little colder. With that as background, I must admit that air conditioning is really essential in weather like what we are having right now. 124 degrees is no fun. No fun outside, and also no fun inside. So guess what? The air conditioning in my casita stopped working, and I had to get workmen to service me. I can't say enough about Ricardo and his company, who dropped everything and came to my place and worked the entire day of July 3rd to replace my air conditioning system. They also returned on July 4th to finish the job and tweak the system to make sure that it was working for me. Amazing. Secondly, the air conditioning unit in my car was not working several weeks ago. I took it in for repairs and finally got it fixed after having to take it back four times to get the repair working correctly. However, I don't know if it's the extreme heat or what, but now my car's air conditioning unit is not working again. It blows air, but the air is not cold. I have come to appreciate air conditioning. However, I've learned some things about air conditioning that I did not know before. For example, air conditioning units have control boxes that have instructions. I've had to learn how to turn them on, how to have them continue throughout the night without being programmed to turn the fan only on at midnight. I've had to learn to turn the fan to high. I've had to learn to make sure that the unit is programmed to cool. But most importantly, I have learned about the limits of an air conditioning unit. No matter where you set your temperature gauge for an air conditioning unit, the unit can only lower the temperature a maximum of 20 degrees from the temperature of the air that the unit is drawing from. So, for example, in my living room in my casita, in the late afternoon, the temperature of the air in my casita near the intake of the air conditioning unit is over 100 degrees. This is because I have a western exposure and the entire western side of my casita is floor-to-ceiling glass. So even with a shade, the temperature of the air just inside the glass of my Western exposure is well over 100 degrees. The reason this is so important is that the air that the air conditioning unit is sucking up into its system in order to process into colder air is this air, the air that it's 100 plus degrees. But air conditioning units can only reduce the temperature of the air they are taking in by a maximum of 20 degrees. So the best I can expect from my AC unit is airflow that will produce air at 80 plus degrees temperature. And this is the case even though I've set my gauge for 73 degrees. It doesn't matter if the air unit is drawing from air warmer than 93 degrees. Bottom line, I have realized the value of air conditioning. I'm learning how to operate them. I've also learned their limitations. What else have I learned from this experience of living in 124 degree heat? I've learned about other strategies that help trying to keep the inside temperature at a reasonable level. Overhead ceiling fans help a lot. They distribute the air. Also, closing doors to rooms help keep the AC unit working in a more confined space. If you're going to do any exercise, do it early, early morning. For example, I'm playing pickleball every day, but I'm getting up at 5:30 a.m. so that I could be on the courts by 6 and off by 8. These are the coolest hours of the day with temperatures ranging between 86 and 95 degrees. Believe it or not, I'm not alone by any means. Every morning, there are at least 36 other people playing pickleball at the same time at the same place. Even though the humidity is very low in the desert, you sure work up a sweat playing in this heat. Or just speaking for myself, I sure work up a sweat. My sweat is so great that the short sleeve shirt that I've been wearing gets absolutely soaking wet. I mean, really wet. I'm just dripping in sweat. I was drenched. My shirt was so soaked this morning that when after pickleball, I went to have breakfast at my favorite breakfast haunt, I knew that I could not wear it into the restaurant. So in the parking lot, I struggled to take it off, exposing my bare upper torso. Then I put on a golf windbreaker to try to get something on that was a little bit drier. Still, when I walked into the restaurant, I knew immediately that I could not survive inside. The air conditioning was too cold. It was freezing, and I would have contracted a massive cold or some other kind of malady. So I say that I want to eat at one of the out tables outside. The hostess looked at me like I was nuts. No one, and I mean no other person, was eating outside in this heat. By 9 o'clock, it was over 100 degrees. With this having been the exception, no other restaurants that I've seen have opened their outside dining tables during this heat wave, even ones that have misting over their outside tables. Later today, I went to Kohl's department store and sought out a moisture-wicking sports shirt, which are typically lightweight, breathable, and quick-drying. This helps to enhance overall comfort by reducing stickiness and the sensation of being drenched in sweat. I bought 2 of them. I will give them a try tomorrow. Hopefully, they will reduce the amount of sweat that I'm swimming in. Next thing I've noticed and paid attention to is the consumption of liquids. Water, 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 and more water. You consume a lot more water during these unbelievably hot days. However, I did find time to get one of my favorite date shakes this afternoon. Boy, almond joy. As my grandkids know, that is what I always say when I really like something. One of the surprises to some may be that the temperature does not drop precipitously in the evening. No, sir. It is 100 degrees at 10 p.m. It's over 90 at 2 a.m. There are other strategies that some are using during this extreme heat. Some are leaving and going to the beach, which is only a 2-hour drive, or going to the mountains, which is also only a 2-hour drive. But what has struck me during this time is that as difficult, uncomfortable, and in some cases perilous as this situation is, life still goes on. People are working. Cars are moving. Shopping is occurring. Restaurants are open. Yes, some events are being canceled, but most are not. What is down is patronage. For example, when I went to get my date shake from Shields Date Farm, I was the only customer, the only car in the parking lot. Usually it's packed with others wanting a date shake. Some have asked me what it's like to be outside in 124 degree heat. The answer is that it feels heavy, oppressive. It feels a little suffocating. It is a dry heat. It feels like what I would imagine walking into an oven would feel like. Your pace slows down a little. You try to limit your time outside. There is no place to go to cool down, like under a tree or something. The heat is oppressive. It's non-relenting. There is no relief other than going inside an air-conditioned facility. Bottom line, another experience in this wonderful time that we're blessed to have on this earth.
Be sure to subscribe to Meandering Musings wherever you get your favorite podcasts. For more about Neil Peterson and to read more Meandering Musings and travel essays, visit meanderingmusings.net. Like the podcast? Please help us grow our listenership. Tell your friends about Meandering Musings and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.